WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, our brand new signal that booms into the Queen City and beyond. It is another edition of In Touch with Kale and Cormier. I'd like to have you with us today, and there is certainly no lack of things to discuss these days on the political scene and otherwise as well.
Indeed, that's so true.
So I guess I will ask you, Jane, where would you like to begin today?
Oh my gosh, you're going to ask me that question?
I'm asking you that question. You're the only other one that's here.
Indeed. All right, so if this has been a crazy day for politics. Last night, there was a vote EC Council to take some $22 million funds from the federal government to bring that money to New Hampshire and basically build a database for vaccine, whether or not you have one, and all kinds of other wonderful tentacle things that the federal government can now, you know, play with here in New Hampshire. Now, the backstory to that is that about, 4 weeks ago, the EC, the Executive Council. Now, folks need to know the Executive Council is the firewall for spending here in New Hampshire. Any fiduciary money that comes into the state must be accepted by the Executive Council. And if they say no, it's no.
That's it.
All right. So they're very important. Right now we have a Republican majority. And this money really has been from the beginning in the public mindset, from what I'm hearing, dubious. You know, a lot of folks have problems with taking this $22 million and bringing it to New Hampshire because of the federal, you know, federal things that you are now on the hook for. So 4 weeks ago, they voted it down. Well, last night at the Executive Council meeting, Governor Sununu, very last item on the evening, very last at the meeting, before it ends, he brings back up the funding for this vaccine, you know, money from the state. And it gets passed. It was never posted on the agenda. No one knew it was coming. And sadly, we have Joe Kenney and we have Dave Wheeler, who have been really fiscal conservative folk for people here in New Hampshire, voted to take this money. So there's a big uproar right now. We're on the hook for taking this money, and we are going to pay the price down the road for taking it.
All right. So people will say, and the follow-up question is, what kind of a price are we going to pay?
So first of all, any kind of registries never bode well, okay? So the first thing this money does is it builds a vaccine registry. Well, we don't have registries in New Hampshire, and we shouldn't have registries in New Hampshire that are taken care of by the feds. There is a state sovereignty issue here that is center stage. New Hampshire has always been an independent state, and now we are going to take this money, and because we have taken it, we have obligations to fulfill through the federal government. States are able to take care of their own problems, folks. They really are. And now that's the first thing. So registries aren't good. We don't want vaccine registries. We certainly don't want things like gun registries. We don't like registries here in New Hampshire. So that's the big thing. It's a big corporate giveaway, all right? And we know that when that money comes, that free money, don't you love that free money? Because it's
no such thing as free money.
That's
folks.
Right.
It's no such thing.
It's your money, Ken, and it's my money, and it's everybody's money that's out there, and they're going to give it back to the state. That's great. Yeah, they're going to give it back to the state with all kinds of things attached to that money. So, sadly, I have to tell you, I don't know what's going on, because I am really a gal that loves the state of New Hampshire. I love the fact that we are independent-minded, and I voice my ire to the people that you're supposed to voice it to, writing or calling my, you know, the people that are on a certain side of a bill, the legislators, in this case, the Executive Council. But now that the Executive Council has taken that money, it goes to the Fiscal Committee. The Fiscal Committee meets on November 19th, right? And if the Fiscal Committee votes down those federal funds, we will not be able to take that money, right? So the next step is for folks to contact the legislators on the fiscal committee, which I did last night. And I sent an email to everybody on the fiscal committee.
Which is how many people?
I believe 9. Maybe there was 11, but I had 9 addresses emailed, right? Every single email bounced back to me as undeliverable or blocked email address. Now, if you want to get me fired up, just take away my voice. That is not good, folks. Why would what we want to say to our officials in Concord be blocked? Why would a fiscal committee send back emails, block the ability for you to contact them? So I asked other folks, see, because maybe it was just me, right? Maybe my phone had an issue. Maybe it was just weird, right? But 2 people now have had the same thing happen. So how are we going to contact our folks?
So why do you think the sudden change from the executive council? I know, you know, 3 of them voted to accept the now, what, $22.7 million
or yeah,
somewhere in that ballpark.
Right.
I know Ted Gatzis voted present.
You know what? I ran against Ted Gatzis two terms ago for EC. Mm-hmm. And if anybody had told me that he would vote present in this kind of thing, I would have said no. He actually voted sensibly. So good for Ted, right? The other 3 people that you mentioned voted no 3-4 weeks ago.
Right.
Now voted yes. And your question was, why did they do it?
Why the sudden change of mind?
All right. Well, I can only tell you that I was told by one of the counselors on the phone last night that they felt that the money taken would be mitigated by this resolution that was put in by the counselors along with taking the money. Now, let me tell you about a resolution. Resolution sounds good. Folks, when you hear in politics that they made a resolution, it might sound great, and it's good in paper. It's good on the paper. Sounds good.
Makes you feel good, right?
Indeed. Makes you feel like,
but
yeah. Yeah, but no teeth. Means nothing. No legal standing with a resolution at all. No legislative standing at all. Okay? So while they can say, well, we voted yes because we put in a resolution, these seasoned politicians have really let down their constituents, because those folks got into office because they are fiscally conservative. That's why they won their races. And now they voted this, and there is, in my mind, no excuse. How do you get around that? That money, taking that money is bad idea, a bad idea.
But, of course, most states have.
Doesn't mean they should. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And shouldn't states feel empowered to not be at the beck and call of the federal government that we know is abjectly corrupt?
So what ramifications, if the fiscal committee votes to accept the $22.7 million, what ramifications do you see down the road?
Well, first of all, the precedent it sets stinks, right? I mean, because now you have a registry that is in place, right? And for those folks that would prefer not to be listed on a registry, it pretty much is just too bad. So the precedent is going down the road. That's a really bad precedent to be setting. Secondly, while the talk is of all these people getting fired if they try to, you know, through whatever reason, just decline a vaccination or a booster, because folks, don't forget, we're past now the vaccination. The next one down the line is you better get the booster. If they're going to force you to get the vaccine, it makes sense that they're going to force you to get the booster. Now, I'll tell you what. I got the vaccine. I'll disclose that. I work with children, and I said, you know what? I don't want to get it. I don't necessarily believe in it. I believe that, you know, we had so little information about what this whole vaccine thing, which has, by the way, not been still not approved. These are experimental vaccines, every bloody one of them. So, but I said, you know what? I'm old. I'm going to err on the side of a safety for the kids that I might be teaching. And I got the vaccine and I was sick. Sick for weeks. I'm a healthy gal. Let me tell you, healthy person, never sick. Very rarely ever missed work, right? I was sick for maybe 6 weeks sick.
Wow.
Okay. Mm. Now, I don't care what you do. I don't care what bill you put in. I don't care what you say. No one is giving me a booster. End of story. Now, if they want to say I'm selfish or they want to say I'm not doing the right thing, I can live with that. I will live with that. And you know what? I should be able to say it because live free or die is our motto. Hello? So I really feel very strongly about this. Obviously, this was a dangerous precedent. This is setting forth dangerous policy. We don't want any government entity, federal entity, coming into our state and telling us this is what you're going to do. Not good.
So the registry. Mm. If people get on a registry, why is that a negative thing?
First of all, what about HIPAA? Do you know what HIPAA is? HIPAA is all of your medical information is private. Private. It's nobody's business. And if we're following the law, nobody should ever be asked to divulge their information. But now, who knows what's going to happen with that once you're on this little registry that says you don't have this vaccination or you need this booster or what? That's supposed to be private. Why are we doing a registry, right? Aren't we smart enough to figure out ways to get what we need to get done to educate the public rather than to force the public? You know?
Yeah.
Horrible.
I just wonder why. What was the genesis of the sudden, you know, change of track by the executive counselor?
No one knows.
That would be what I'm most curious about, is how it just sort of happened.
Yep.
Out of the blue. I know it wasn't on the agenda.
No.
And it just came out of nowhere.
Well, it came from Governor Sununu.
Right. Now, I know he was not happy when the money was rejected a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Outwardly, he was not, I guess, anyway. So, I mean, obviously, the first time around, he didn't have that much clout if he, you know, talk to the executive counselors about that ahead of the vote, the original vote.
Well, I guess he is now.
Yeah, now that he's running again, right?
I guess he has clout now, right?
I guess.
Yeah, and who knows if that had something to do with it. But, you know, he is quoted as saying at the meeting right after the vote, well, we're going full steam ahead. Isn't that great? We're going full steam ahead. Love that. Get that free money. Because we know free money really works.
Yeah, there's no such thing as free money, just like there's no such thing as a free meal either, right?
Absolutely.
But it'll be interesting to see where this goes when it gets to the fiscal committee on November the 19th. We'll be paying close attention to that.
Okay, well, the next meeting Friday, November 19th at 10 o'clock. And there are folks that are going to be heading to the State House to try to pack that room and have their voices heard.
Will you be one of them?
Well, I have school. I don't feel good leaving my kids. If I can teach, I'm there, right? Which was why I wanted to get that email out. You know, getting emails to your legislators are a good way to let your voice heard. Because once they start receiving a certain number of similar responses, they start to understand how important this is. When you block that response, they don't hear from the citizens that put them into office, and then they can go and do what they want to do, right?
Do you think when they rejected the money, the $27 million a couple of weeks ago, most people said, what are they, nuts, rejecting that money? I mean, the majority of people, of the feedback that I heard, most people said, what are they, crazy to reject that free money? And so I would imagine that they were bombarded.
Of course
by their constituents. Why did you not take that free money?
I don't believe that. I don't believe that they got bombarded with it. I really don't. Because I know that there were many people that said, why wouldn't you take the free money? Which is kind of, you know, naive, right? And it sounds good, again, on the outside.
Most people are politically naive.
I know.
The vast majority, as you know.
The majority, for sure.
Are politically naive.
But I'll tell you what. The majority of people that are naive are waking up. We didn't see Virginia swing to the other side and New Jersey almost swing to the other side because people are still asleep. They're starting to smell something's wrong in the state of Denmark. And they're starting to figure out, you know what? This might not be exactly what it seems. It's just a fact of life that when the federal government offers states free money, it comes with tentacles. It comes with a reason. They're not going to give you a handout where they don't get something back. And the federal government wants control to be able to say and to make people get this vaccine, get these boosters. When something else comes up on the horizon, are we going to do the same thing again? We're going to mandate that you do this. We're going to mandate that you can't do that. We did that for almost 2 years. How many businesses did we put out of work because we told them, you can't go to work. You can't work. We're shutting it down. This is where we are. So 10 o'clock is that meeting.
10 o'clock on the 19th of November. So circle your calendars, folks.
Yeah. If you can get to the State House, do, and let them know that, you know, we do not support federal corporate giveaways in the state of New Hampshire, and certainly not ones that threaten our state sovereignty. States are more important than the feds, guys. That's why we built a republic. We do not cede everything to our federal government. States are within their right to have their own sovereignty, and we shouldn't be afraid to embrace that. That is not a bad thing.
Well, you know, along the same lines, Congress has passed one of the infrastructure bills put forth by the Biden administration, and New Hampshire, as a result of the passing of the bill last week, will be getting, you know, well over $1 billion, maybe close to $2 billion for infrastructure.
Right. Sounds good, right? You know, when I was sitting on my little, committee at the State House, we used to talk about federal monies that would come in for infrastructure or different things. Certainly, it sounds great. And you know what? We do need infrastructure funding.
We do.
There is no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how much of that money that comes in. Truly, if there was a way that
we could. How much of it comes in, period.
How much comes in and how much actually goes
to infrastructure.
To true infrastructure.
Infrastructure, which you would define as?
We have to take care of public roadways. We have to take care of our bridges. All that stuff. Absolutely needful.
And they are in need of repair.
They
for sure,
are.
And have been for years.
They are. And any kind of politician that is in either state or federal needs to support that at their level.
And that kind of infrastructure, we don't mind.
We want.
We want
yes.
It, of course. And states have been getting that kind of aid for a long time.
Right.
But things have not been good recently. We haven't been getting much infrastructure money.
Because they take the money out.
In recent years. Yep. So we'll see where that money actually goes. We'll follow the money.
Well, that would be nice if we could, but you know what usually happens is it comes in, and then everybody just kind of goes on to the next story that comes along, right?
Yeah.
When you put the word infrastructure on money, it sounds good, and the public says, yeah, we should do that. Good. But you know what? If only one-tenth of that money goes to infrastructure, that was a lie. That was not an infrastructure bill.
Right, exactly. I mean, we were hearing things about sending illegal immigrants to community college as part of that bill.
Yeah. So it'll be very interesting.
I believe that's been taken out, but let's hope so anyway.
Yeah.
It is In Touch with Cale and Cormier, and Jane is fired up today, and that's great. That's the way we like it. Right here at WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and our brand new signal, 101.9 FM in Manchester. KXL, 1450 AM, 9 FM, Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. It's In Touch with Cale and Cormier, and we're talking about the infrastructure bill just before the break, after we discussed the Executive Council now accepting that quote-unquote free money to battle COVID-19 here in the Granite State. And we'll see what happens when that reaches the Fiscal Committee on November 19th. So if you have feelings about that one way or the other, get in touch with members of the Fiscal Committee to let your feelings be known. But the infrastructure bill is interesting, and if New Hampshire gets the money they're promised, you know, hopefully 100% of it will go to what we identify as true infrastructure.
Right.
And I don't think anybody's opposed to that. And
no.
I think that's why 13 Republicans actually voted for that bill, which was more than I thought would. But you know,
definitely more than anyone thought would.
Yeah. Members of the squad on the Democratic side did not vote for the infrastructure bill because it was not tied to the other infrastructure
social
bill.
Social programs, right.
It's the social infrastructure bill, if you will.
Yeah.
So we will see. And you know what I've always wanted, and I know other people have as well, and I don't know if it's feasible, but I think a terrific idea, and a lot, you know, of the so-called infrastructure is there, although maybe not in great repair, but it is physically there for high-speed rail in New Hampshire.
You think that's a go? You think
that's
good?
No, I don't. I don't.
Oh,
I'm
either.
Just saying, I think it would be a great idea. That's all. And it's been talked about.
So you think that New Hampshire would benefit from having the rail, the rail program?
I think residents of New Hampshire would benefit from it. Yeah.
From what I understand, though, they've done many, they've done all kinds of surveys.
Yeah.
And we just don't have the numbers. We just don't have the numbers
in terms
to be
of
able,
population
correct,
to sustain it.
To sustain
it. Yeah. And that is an issue. There's no doubt. I will say that is an issue.
It is an issue because every state that has done that has gone the wrong way financially.
Yeah.
Not one of them is self-supporting.
Yeah. And it is a shame because I think it would be a good thing in terms of, for residents of the state and people coming in to the state of New Hampshire.
Yeah, it could be. It could. But the problem is New Hampshire is spread out.
Yeah.
And then there's so little population up north.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's just financially very difficult to make that work.
I don't think it would go any farther north than Concord if you had it. If you had
and
the
you think that you'd
rail.
Have enough to sustain it for that.
Well, I don't know. And
I'm
a lot smarter people than I have done research on it. And obviously, we don't have it now.
Right.
And we probably never will.
Which sounds good, though.
But I know I would use it.
Yeah.
I would use it if it was in place. But and I'm sure a lot of people would who commute to Boston every day.
Mm-hmm.
There is bus service, obviously, to Boston.
Right.
But the rail is intriguing. But again, as you say, well, look at how many billions of dollars a year that Amtrak loses.
Horrible.
Even though I think it's a good service.
Yeah. I've done it a lot. I've gone on Amtrak more than fly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't.
It doesn't pay for itself.
Pay for itself
it
ever.
Does not.
Right.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Interesting, isn't
and
it?
And I don't know how it ever would.
Yeah.
Unless you would increase the fares so dramatically that nobody would go on it anyway.
Right. That's kind of the
double-edged sword.
That's right. That's right.
But I would like high-speed rail in New Hampshire. Or it doesn't even have to be high. It can be like medium, moderate speed rail.
Yeah. No, I understand.
It doesn't have to fly to Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there is a big push to do that for sure.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I think that it's pretty obvious that we wouldn't be able to do it as a state. We'd need federal subsidy for it.
Yeah.
And once you have federal subsidy, they run it.
But, you know, I'll tell you,
know
for
they
those
run
people
everything.
Who do commute to Boston, for those people who still are, probably not as many as once did before the pandemic.
True.
I'm sure it's been cut, at least marginally. But, you talk about the gas prices the way they are now, And I think this is an intentional ploy by the administration to close down the pipelines, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Which they've done already.
You're giving Vladimir Putin a pipeline in Russia. But we're shutting down pipelines. We were energy independent.
I know, for the first time.
Not too long ago.
I know it.
Under a previous administration, we were energy independent.
That's something, huh?
But we have known that one of the things the Biden administration wants to push is electric vehicles. And I have nothing against electric vehicles.
But electric isn't clean either.
Electric comes from something that's just
as dirty as the oil.
And I don't understand why people don't grasp that. But the Biden administration wants to push those gas prices as high as they can. So people will say, oh, we got to get an electric.
Isn't that horrible?
We have to get an electric car.
It's terrible because, you know what? I know the families that have kids, right, that are working two jobs each to maintain their household, right, with everything being so expensive. Now, every time you go to the pump, you're like, how much more is it going to be? I'll only do half a tank today. People are doing that.
I mean,
I'm doing it. I'm like, oh, my God, my little bitty car takes like $32 to a little bitty Ford Fiesta. Holy moly. You know, and I'm just one person. Big deal. You know, I'm finding a way to make that work. But for the folks that are on tight budgets, that have kids, that are fighting to pay their bills and put food on the table, that's
up.
A big deal.
It adds up.
Totally inexplicable. Listen, what you said is so sensible that you wonder how anyone could look at that or hear that statement and say, why are we shutting down our federal pipelines? Why?
I mean, that's one of the first things
that he did. Yes.
Day one of the administration.
Isn't that amazing? It's
mind-boggling.
Shut down
the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah, right.
Which, you know, not only, you know, makes an enemy, Canada now is an enemy because, you know, we cost them big time by shutting down the pipeline.
Horrible.
Jobs there, jobs here
in
this country.
Yeah, plus gas.
Well,
plus
yes.
Plus oil.
Of course.
Heating oil. Plus all of it, right? Propane.
I mean, can you imagine? And I don't own a home, but I know a lot of people who do, and you know their heating bills are going to go through the proverbial roof.
I saw a report online yesterday that said Maine is expecting a 60% increase.
Yeah,
how is that going to happen?
Well, I mean, it goes along with the gas prices.
60%?
The same premise. Yeah, I mean, we're up at least $1.50 per gallon than where we were a year ago at this time.
Just mind-boggling to me. It's like, is anybody really paying attention here? Because this isn't good, right? How are they going to make that work?
And so why do you think we see the results we've been seeing in Virginia, which is the prime example right now?
Right.
And almost a Republican governor in New Jersey.
Yeah. That one really scared. And don't forget, was it New Jersey? I think it was New Jersey that had the truck driver beat the guy that's been in there forever, the old establishment
Stephen
guy.
Stephen Sweeney, who was the Senate president.
Isn't that something?
For years, was upset by a truck driver who spent, $153 on his primary campaign?
In his primary, yes.
And I think he had a total budget of maybe $5,000, $10,000.
Yeah, I think it was like five something.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, regular folks look at that.
And that he was the Republican, by the way, the truck driver. Yeah. The Democrat was ousted.
Right. But I think people on either side look at that. I think you can look at that no matter what side you're on, and you chuckle at that.
Yeah.
Because the little guy won that one.
Really? and this guy, Sweeney, I don't think there were really any skeletons in his closet. I didn't hear that. But just the fact that he had a D next to his name.
Well, he was extremely progressive. That guy cost the state a lot of money. He cost his constituents a lot of money. He was a real spender, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that's so true. I mean, and that's the way most people look at those with D's next to their name.
Well, there are probably some D's out there that we can say, you know, wouldn't be that way. But certainly today...
But right now,
you have to look at it and say that's true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. I mean, you really do. As you know, just have to look at a year ago. How our status has changed since 1 year ago today.
Yeah.
It really and truly has. So I don't know. There were so many missteps by this administration, and it's had a trickle down impact.
Oh, we're only seeing the beginning of
it. Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, in Virginia, the prime example of that.
Right.
You almost had a Republican governor.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, as Governor Murphy was almost ousted.
Right.
It was a very, very close election. But can you imagine? I mean, if things don't turn around
They won't. Listen,
yeah.
Do you know I went out yesterday? Was it today or yesterday? Oh, my God. I get up so early these days. And I went out and bought my turkey. Because I am being told, I'm seeing all these reports from all over the country that they're like already 36% down on how many turkeys they had last year available for purchase.
The sheer number of turkeys.
Yes,
yeah.
are down.
Yeah.
So that they're expecting turkeys to be gone before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right? When have you ever heard that in your life?
No.
Right? Thanksgiving's coming. We're a plethora of stuff. You know, you can buy it that week. Right?
Yeah.
I bought
sure.
my turkey this week just to make sure I had a turkey.
And what did you pay per pound for that bird?
Well, remember? That wasn't very expensive.
Oh, okay.
I went to
okay.
Market Basket.
Yeah. Okay.
I cannot tell a lie. It was 79 cents a pound.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not bad.
I have seen them much more than that.
That's not bad at
yeah.
all.
No.
But I have heard, and I have not purchased one yet, but I have heard that they were up in many places.
Oh, God, yeah. The norm for them is like $129, $139 a pound.
Yeah.
And
you got it for 79 cents.
I did. I look. I'm a shopper.
Yeah, well, that's good.
I tell you, I'm not a skinflint, but in my old age now, I sort of get a hoot out of, you know, watching how much something is. And then it's kind of fun, you know, that you kind of scoop what's what, and then you go in
absolutely.
And get a deal.
Most everybody
I
loves
never used to do
a
that.
Bargain.
It's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never used to do that. When I had kids, I never would buy the expensive thing just to buy it, but I wasn't really aware of that. But you know what I did today? This is great. I went to Kohl's today.
Yeah.
Because I bought my turkey, and then I'm like,
you had like a 30% off coupon
oh,
or something like that.
Oh, listen to this, okay? Yeah. So I saved this. I got this thing in the mail where, you know, I got 30% off and $10 off, and
then,
you know, the free
Kohl's
box they do.
Kohl's
cash.
Yeah.
I don't go to Kohl's at all. I don't generally shop there at all. But, you know, I had a credit card, and I said, you know what, maybe I'll use that today and get these things. So I was in the mode of, oh, let's just do it now, right? Don't wait, because you don't know. There might be nothing left, right? And I wanted to get good presents. So I went to Kohl's today. I spent almost $500, okay? But I bought.
I hope you got a lot of Kohl's cash.
I did get a lot of Kohl's cash, but I spent only $250.
Well, there you go.
I
spent get the 30% off and the Kohl's cash.
Wow. I did.
I'm proud of you,
Jay. Isn't that awesome?
I am proud of you.
And I walked out of that store giggling, thinking I bought for everybody.
There you go. For $250 or whatever. Yeah.
I know. Crazy, right? But I was chuckling because it was like,
you know where I'm going right after
the
show.
You're going to Kohl's?
Yeah.
Go to Kohl's.
Head to Kohl's.
They have tons of product right now, which is what I liked. I wanted to make sure I could get the sizes I wanted and get product that I liked. But best of all, I researched. I did my diligence. And I was laughing because I did this.
See, that's like winning the lottery, you know, saving $250 or whatever. That's,
absolutely.
That's great.
Everybody out there is laughing because they do the same thing.
Absolutely. And why not? They should. Well, we have to make some money right here at WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 101.9 FM in Manchester and beyond. It's In Touch with Kaylin Cormier. Welcome back, WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM, Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. That's a new signal.
Yes.
People who have never been able to hear WKXL over the airwaves before are hearing it right now in the Manchester area.
How cool is that?
People you know, Jane.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, there's going to be all kinds of giveaways and fun things happening, so people should stay tuned.
All kinds of things, and you can stream us wherever you are. I mean, if you take a trip for Thanksgiving, you can stream us all the time.
Yes.
At nhtalkradio.com. The only thing we can't stream is the Boston Celtics because that's contractually not proper.
Right.
We can't do that. But everything else.
Yeah.
On this radio station.
So they can listen to our shows.
You can stream. Stream.
There you go.
All right. There you go. Just nhtalkradio.com. It's very simple.
Yes.
I can even figure it out. So it's got to be easy. You had something you wanted to discuss there?
Yes. You know what? The first segment we were talking about, you know, how the state house, how to get in contact, like legislatures and all that. We were talking about, you know, the mandate, right? But I did want to let you guys know that there is an organization that I think some people would really like to know about, right? I leave it up to you to decide whether or not you like it. But if you are looking to find an organization that supports state sovereignty on all levels, then there's an organization called Rebuild New Hampshire. Okay, if you just put that on there, Rebuild New Hampshire. You will find this site, and they have the most recent legislative committee meetings that are going to be happening. What you can do if you want to talk to a committee member, a legislative person, and they're putting on here our next move, right? They said is to testify on the amendment or new bill to stop vaccine mandates in New Hampshire. This is HB 255. And if you go to the State House November 16th at 10, you can give some public testimony about the state prohibiting employers or schools from accepting. You want to have exceptions for religious beliefs, conscience, medical reasons, or previous immunity, right? You want that. So this bill is the bill that's being put into place to accept that, to go back to normal common sense. And so they want this room to have the stories of the folks that have lost their jobs or are about to lose their jobs or about to lose their medical privacy and to their choice to be vaccinated or not. So they say if you've been coerced, pressured, or if your exceptions have been denied, if you're concerned about your children having to be vaccinated to attend a school, this is a chance to tell your story. So I think that's a good thing, right? Pro or con, telling your story is never a bad thing. So both sides can tell their story here. And that's on, that information you could find at Rebuild New Hampshire. I'm trying to find their site, and their site also says reopen New Hampshire, but I think that they probably just redid the whole thing to rebuild New Hampshire.
All right. So there you go. And the date again?
The date for that is November 16th at 10.
All yeah. right.
Very cool.
All right. And if you want to, express your views one way or the other.
Right.
Yeah, we're not telling you how to respond, but, we want you to get out and be active.
Absolutely.
In your communities and the decisions that are made by those who have the power to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And how you're impacted by those each and every day. I understand there's well over 700 bills
yes.
that are allegedly going to be legislated by our House and Senate starting in just a short while.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. You know, that's like more than half than what's normal for that time.
And
that's
just half.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's like over 700, and that's just half. So it shows you how crazy it is. But at any rate, we will see how all those come out. And so many things. We know the announcement that Governor Sununu made recently that he's not going to seek a bid for a U.S. Senate seat.
That was a surprise, huh?
It was a surprise to a lot of people, for sure. Yeah. For sure it was. I made a prediction on another radio show recently that he would run for Senate. So,
everybody
yes.
thought so. I mean, nobody was of the mind that he was going to stay run as governor. They all thought he was gone.
But I think, honestly, and people have said this in the past, and I think it's probably true, that John Sununu has a master plan.
And you think?
I do.
You still think he has those master plans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And what's his plan?
Very vibrant. He has a plan for Chris that I think I believe.
I know what you're going to say.
And I know somebody else mentioned this on this station recently. Uh-huh. Alicia Preston on another program that we air here, Balance of Power. Great show with Alicia and Matt Robeson and Paul Hodes.
Mm-hmm.
But Alicia, who is a Republican,
yep,
feels that Governor Sununu will run for president,
mm-hmm,
in 2024.
There's no doubt I believe that a run for president is in his future. I don't know if it's 2024.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I think, you know, a lot has to do, I think, whether Trump runs again or not. I think that may be a mitigating factor in the whole thing. But let's just say that Trump doesn't run,
mm-hmm,
again. And mm-hmm, what do you think? Do you think he will or won't?
No.
I don't either. I don't either.
I know people are saying that, but I think he wants to be active behind the scenes.
Oh, sure. I think he wants to be a kingmaker, whether it
right
be the next president, yeah, or senators or congresspeople.
Yes. That's what he's going to do, I think.
I think he wants to be the kingmaker,
mm-hmm,
you know, and endorse.
Yep.
And who knows? But I think Chris Sununu will make a run, probably won't succeed, but could wind up. He wouldn't rule Washington out completely. He said it'd take a cabinet-level position. Or he never didn't say the P word.
No, he didn't.
But how about vice president? If his run is not successful.
If that's true, he's going to have to really watch the numbers. Because although there are many establishment Republicans that will never fault Chris Sununu, there are many independents,
mm-hmm, yeah,
and some Republicans, conservative Republicans, that right now have real concerns. And I think that those numbers could be loud enough in the state to be of a concern, even though nobody wants to talk about it.
And independents these days make such a huge difference.
Huge.
Yes, there are more independents out there than ever,
mm-hmm,
before.
Right.
All right, we are heading down the home stretch of this edition of In Touch with Cale and Cormier. Ken Cale, Jane Cormier at WKXL 1450 AM. 103.9 FM in the Concord area, and new 101.9 FM in Manchester. Welcome back to Cale and Cormier. We only have a couple of minutes left in this program, Jane. Time flies when you're having fun here on WKXL. And I know you walked in today. I know you're very pleased for whatever reason, and I think I know what it is, why the Atlanta Braves. You're very pleased that the Braves won the World Series this time around.
I thought that was so good.
But you wouldn't have been rooting for them against the Red Sox,
no,
I hope. No.
Absolutely not.
Right.
But when
okay
the Sox were gone,
yes,
right,
yeah,
I was hoping, yep, they'd win because I felt that they were really, they were dealt a rotten hand.
Oh, were they ever. They were. Not just the Braves, I mean, but really the city and the surrounding area in Atlanta. Yeah.
Totally. I mean, how that impacted that whole state, right?
They were just absolutely robbed.
Yeah.
Absolutely robbed.
Well, they weren't robbed in the end, were they?
No, they weren't.
Ha-ha.
And justice, and I don't mean David Justice, but justice
prevailed. Absolutely.
David Justice is a former Brave.
Really?
Married to Halle Berry at one time.
Get out of here, really?
No, that's true.
Oh, my gosh,
I didn't
know that. Okay.
That's true.
There you go.
But justice prevailed, and the Braves won. I would not have rooted for them against the Red Sox, but I was rooting hard for them against the Houston Astros.
Me too. I think
most of the country was.
I think you're right.
Just because they hate the Astros.
Well, I don't know that. I think a lot of people knew that what happened in the All-Star section
and
was bad stuff.
That had a factor in it, too.
Yeah.
But nobody wanted to see the Astros win except those staunch Astros fans, a bunch of cheaters. So that is going to wrap it up for this edition, a lively one of Cale and Cormier right here. We hope you join us next time on 1450 AM WKXL, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM in Manchester and beyond.